Okay, we have a couple more groups and then to discuss. So we spent a lot of time last week talking about juices, about different opinions in the Mishonim, about soups and juices and chazishes and vashis, all the tumul. But there's one juice that everybody agrees that the bracha not only doesn't go down, the bracha actually goes up. And that's, of course, yayin. The verse says explicitly, we give you the six clerical brachas that you make a bar priagofen on yayin. Is there anything that could happen to yayin that could make it lose its bracha bar priagofen? So, as we mentioned, we spoke about fruits and vegetables. Sometimes if you do a shinui to something, you prepare it in a way that's not normal, that detracts from the quality of the food, so then the bracha goes down. So we mentioned that if you have a type of a fruit that's normally not cooked, the guy decides he's going to cook an orange. It's not a normal thing to do. The person decides he's going to cook, a banana or something. Something that people don't generally cook. So then the bracha is going to go down. Or vice versa, if you have something that's usually eaten cooked, and you decide to eat it raw, then the bracha also goes down to shahako. So the same should be to the yayin. If you prepare yayin in a way that's not normal, so then the brach should go down. So that's what the Rishonim call the name of Rashi, that whenever you cook wine, so cook your wine, it's not the normal way of having wine, or sugar drinks out of the bushel. So the normal way of preparing wine is to have a raw wine, plain wine. So you go ahead and you throw it into a pot and you cook it up. So Rashi says it changes the quality of the wine, it lowers the quality of the wine. And therefore, that's considered like that's like a cooked orange. And the bracha is going to go down to shahakol. So if we were passing like the Rashi, that would cause a lot of trouble for us. So, we don't follow Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass like the Rashi. Most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rashi. And they say, no, that Vishal and Yayin is not considered to be such a detracting to the wine that's going to really impact the bracha. That's the way we pass in the halacha. There are two different reasons in Rishonim why some Rishonim didn't like to make Kiddush on your Yayin Mevushal. One of the reasons is based on Rashi, they felt that the bracha wasn't even burping enough in. And then there was a whole different reason why some Rishonim preferred not to make Kiddush in Yayin Mevushal. It was based on the Gemara in the Basra in the sixth book. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to make Kiddush on something that's not royal in Nasach or Gabi HaMizbeach. Something that's not fit to be brought to the Mizbeach, so it's possible for Kiddush. So Yayin Mevushal would not be acceptable to be brought to the Mizbeach, so that's where the Rambam writes in Allah and make Kiddush on it. So many Rishonim disagree with that. Many Rishonim say that that Gemara only means if there's something really, really ruined the wine. If a wine that smells good, tastes good, other kinds of things that really detract from the status of the wine, so then it's not that right to make Kiddush on it. If there's some technical quirk that you can't bring on the Mizbeach, like there's a Machlekes, the Rambam quotes Machlekes Rishonim, he brought two different opinions about, let's say you put some fruit juice into the wine or something, you put some sugar into the wine, which is a fruit extract, and you can't bring that on Gabi Mizbeach. There's an issue of Dvash on Gabi Mizbeach. Dvash means any Mesikas Pri, it's called Dvash. So it would be also to pour such wine in his bear. So the Rambam quotes two different opinions, would that be disqualified for Kiddush? So some say, yeah, it's not royal to Gabi Mizbeach, it's not royal to Kiddush, finish. And others say, no. The only time there's an equation of disqualifying for the Mizbeach, disqualifies it for Kiddush, that's only if there's something wrong with the wine, something detrimental about the wine. But just some kind of a quirk, some Hilchus Masechet Menachos dictates, they can't bring Paris on the Mizbeach, they can't bring a double move Mishul on Gabi Mizbeach. So that's low malvah maybe. That doesn't impact on the status of one. So hopefully that's your next semester. We'll talk more about mitzvah of Shabbos. So we'll come back to the machlokes a little bit more. But according to the Rambam, we would stay away from Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush for a different reason, because it's not really a mizbech. So according to Rashi, you'd stay away from it because it's not worth Yagrafen altogether. According to Rambam, you'd stay away from it for another technical reason. So the halacha, we don't really accept either one of those two opinions. We're asking, but Yayin Mevushal is okay, and we can make a bar priagofen on them, and we hold that it's all right. The Tosk can write that if you have two wines in front of you, one is Mevushal, one is not Mevushal, so you should try to take the animal Mevushal for Kiddush. It's more behidah. The Yetzin Shibs and Ramam also. The other thing is, the Tosk can point out that if you live in a place where you have goyim around the house, so then it's going to be a chumra also dekula. There's going to be some map to use dafka animal Mevushal wine. Next thing you know is the non-Jew is going to touch the wine tomorrow. It's going to trade for the whole bottle of wine. So therefore, many of us have to practice, myself included, we don't even want not a Mevushal wine in the house. It's too risky, it's too dangerous, too shaky. And therefore, we don't pass like the Rambam, we don't pass like Rashi, most of the Rishonim, that's a Berkeley Agrofen, and it's perfectly okay, it's good to Machat Chiva, and that's basically the way where many of us are knowing, because otherwise, it's going to lead to kill cooler in terms of his cashers. So the bottom line is, have my cup of wine, I'm going to make a Berkeley Agrofen, a cup of wine, everything's great, it's going to be wonderful. I could potentially ruin a cup of wine if I start to dilute the wine too much. If we start to make it too watery, that could potentially impact on the bracha. So our wines are very, very diluted to start with. When you go to a store and you buy a bottle of wine, it's not the raw wine of Chazal. So you should be careful. You shouldn't really put too much. There's no reason to bring any water into wine. Start adding water into wine. You never know where you're going to reach the point where the wine may be a little bit too light, diluted to recite the bracha. But, so we're going to recite a bracha yagofen on wine. So the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Brachos that there's a special halacha of that wine that yayin is plate shamashkin. Same way we find that the bracha of hamlitzes is plate other macholim, so to yayin is plate shamashkin as well. So you sit down and you have a cup of wine, then you want to have a cup of soda afterwards, you have a cup of juice afterwards. So there's no need to make a bracha shahakol on that subsequent beverage. It's covered by the verb pre-agrafen of the yayin, provided that a person is kaveil on the yayin. It means you need to stop and grab a little bit of wine. Your mama sat down and you had a lot of kaveis of wine, so then that wine is pater's of the mashkin. The pater's of the mashkin, baby bracha vishayin and baby bracha acharonis. So you don't have to recite that bracha, you just make a gefen at the end. How much you have to drink in order for it to be considered to be a kaveis, the Mishabur is not sure. So Mishabur says that if you have less than a mari lugma, he doesn't believe that that's going to be enough to patash shamash. At least a mari lugma, that's for sure. Maybe even more, maybe a ravi. It's not even clear exactly how much you need. But just if you have a little ta'ima bialma, that's not going to do the trick. So this comes up a lot at kiddushes, especially kiddushes in the daytime. For those who go to kiddushes, nobody should go to kiddushes now. But I'm saying, but back in the old days, maybe about a week or back to kiddushes someday. So when kiddushes start up again in some time, then you have to be aware of this halacha. That let's say a person makes kiddush in shul, he makes a couple of grapes, a couple of wine, makes a burpee and often, and then he takes a piece of cake, and he takes his sushi, whatever else he takes. Then he wants to have a cup of soda, so then he doesn't recite a shahakol on the soda, because the soda is covered by the burpee and often of the wine. He doesn't recite a bernefashos on the soda. Let's say if he has other things, enough of kazayas of sushi, so he makes a bracha chorona on the sushi. Let's say he just had. He had a cup of wine, and he had a piece of cake, and he had a cup of soda. So he doesn't make the shahakol on the soda. He doesn't make a burn first on the soda, because the soda is niftar, bein for the bracha rishon, bein for the bracha chorena on the yayin. So the Mishnah says that's only true if the guy at least drank some of the wine. Let's say I heard kiddush from somebody else. Somebody else made kiddush, and I didn't even get any of the wine. I just got a drop of wine. And now I want to have a cup of soda, so then even though I was technically yaitzeh with his burpee and often, that's not going to help me for that drop of the te'ima b'halma that he had of the wine is not going to be enough to pot at least from the shahakol. So you have to be aware that if you didn't have anything really significant to drink from the kiddush wine, then you would have to recite a shahakol on your own. You have to make your burn nefashos on your own, the beverages that you have. So as a general rule, the person sits down to have a meal, so we said that you make a motzi, so you're pretty good to go. So you don't have to think too much about that over the brachas afterwards. So there's a big machlek is a poiskim about, does that mean because your mother sat down and you had a motzi because you wanted to have a motzi? You really, really wanted to have a meal? Let's say you didn't really want to have a meal. You really wanted to eat the following fruit, except you have no idea if the lorim mishnebur for the whole year, you still have no idea whether it's adoma, eitz, shachkom, you have no idea. Tzushi, the 16,000 different possibilities of a bracha, you have no idea what to do with it. So yes, you take that out of your okay, the easiest thing. Whatever it is, it's easy, let me just wash. A wash and not get me out of the problem. So that's a big machlokes. So sometimes it doesn't work. That hamotzi only patters when you really want to have a motzi. If you really want to have a motzi, then you're back to square one. So I think most people are not knowing that way. I think most of us have that attitude. Well, we're not sure what to do, so therefore you wash that's best. I think the minig has become to follow the other poskim. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that hamotzi for sure is not going to patter the blessed kazayas. Let's say a guy takes up half a bite out of a challah roll or something. And then he just keeps on eating. So besides the fact that it's Shabbos, he didn't eat the mitzvah of Shabbos, and there's less than the kazayis. Machlekes, so they have to kazayis with the bait, so the less than the kazayis for sure, not yet. So the guy sits down with a Shabbos meal, he takes one bite of challah, and then he has fish and salad, and he never eats challah. So then he not only did he not yet say kiddush b'chum tzur, he wasn't yet say sudu Shabbos, but he ate without making a bracha because his hamotzi didn't patter all the foods. Because you have to eat at least the kazayis in order for it to be everything else to be bottled to the hamotzi. I remember when I was a little kid, so they used to in school every day, so everyone had a wash. Everyone had a lot of their wash. That was a chinuch when I was a kid. So, and they used to have little pieces of, like in chasms, like little tiny pieces of bread sitting by the washing station. And the bread was always stale. It was either stale or soft, we had both. So no one really wanted to eat it. So we would I remember I used to take a crumb of it. I make a sugar, I make a matzah, I take a bunch of crumb of bread, and then I read the entire meal. Nobody told me that. I don't know if they're great. Nobody told me the halacha. And then we all bench. We all bench out there, allow the other 25 minutes to bench. And everyone was benching brachas of matzah. It was because nobody ate it because I nobody ate the meal, ate it because I was. Strange. A principal called me from a school recently and he asked me, what should we do about this phenomenon? I said, I had this problem 50 years ago. So he asked me, what should the proper chinuch be? He said, because the problem is that there are kids who don't want to eat bread. So since there are some kids who say they don't want to eat bread, so what's the principal supposed to say? Only those kids who eat bread bench. So what that's going to lead to, half the school is going to be not benching. So what kind of benching is that going to do? It's going to be a big farce. Half the guy's going to be talking during benching and half the people will be benching. So it's a whole game. So what, you're going to force the kids to eat bread? So religious, force the guy to eat bread, it's only bread. So it's a strange situation. I don't know, tell them, follow what they did in my elementary school. Everyone just made a million bucks on the toll every day. I'm not sure, I don't know the answers. I don't know the answers. Okay, back to the story. So even though the din is that Hamaitzi pata is other foods, there are certain foods that Hamaitzi doesn't pata. And that's the famous Gemara in the sixth pack of brachas. So Gemara talks about the Varm Shia, Einam Boy Machmas Asuda. If you have certain kinds of foods that are not really part of the meal. So there are certain foods that are not really shaykh to the meal, they're not covered by the bracha matzi. How do you define what's called b'machzud, what's called shalom b'machzud, just the b'machzud, Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi holds that anything that's not eaten together with bread, it's not eaten like a sandwich, shalaf is a pas, is considered to be ainu b'machzud suda, and therefore you'd have to make a bracha on it, if you're a piece of kugel. So nobody makes a kugel sandwich. The Gemara in the Dharm says, in Bavel, there were some foolish people that used to eat nama benama. They would make cereal sandwiches. They would take like grains and make pasta, and they would make pasta inside of it. So it's a lot of like high in carbs. It's not good for your diet. So the message is, Bavloit of Shah used to eat nama benama. They would eat grain sandwiches. So a normal person doesn't eat, you don't eat a potato kugel sandwich. Sugar, what's that place called? Yapchiks, they make potato kugel with a lot of everything. Everything gets mixed together with chulim, kugel with everything, the whole nine yards. But everyone else doesn't. They don't eat a potato kugel sandwich. Rashi holds any food that's not eaten as part of a sandwich is not covered by the bracha of Amaitzi. So let's say, for example, you sit down and have a Shabbos meal. So filter fish, that's a bowl of nafas zapas. Even though you're not, right now you're not eating a sandwich, but that's a kind of a food that's a bowl of nafas zapas. On the other hand, a potato kugel is not nafas zapas. Like your moshav, the Gemara has in the second half of Beitza, when you make an Erev Tavshilin. So an Erev Tavshilin has to be a double bowl of nafas zapas. It's not enough just to be a cooked food. It has to be something that would normally accompany bread. So you make it after shul with an egg. You can make egg salad. You can make it after shul with a piece of filter fish. You can make the filter fish sandwiches. You have a piece of chicken. You can make chicken salad sandwiches. Those are things that you would normally eat. It's a roast beef, whatever. Those are things you would make in the sandwiches. But you can't make a piece of potato kugel. It's a luxury kugel. That's not acceptable for after shul. So if it was brachas Rashi holds, whatever's not bowl of zapas is not covered. So Tosfos disagrees with it, and we pass the shulchan against Rashi. Tosfos says something is called bowl machmas asuda, either if it's bowl of zapas, or even if it's not bowl of zapas, but it's something that's bowl hasbiyah, something that comes to fill you up. So kugel, other kinds of foods, come hasbiyah, so that those are also considered to be bottled to the pas. What's considered to be a kind of a food that's not bowl machmas asuda, that would not be covered by the Hamaitzi? So Tais explains something like very sweet, something that's not there to fill you up, it's not there to accompany the bread, it's just there to give you a good taste at the end of the meal. So like fruit or something, dessert at the end of the meal. So that would not be covered by the hamlet. That's how Tais is found. So we pass it that things are just eaten as sweets beyond the bowl of kibbutz beyond are not covered by the hamlet. So there is a famous story. It's a controversial story about the Chofetz Chaim. That apparently, till the end of his life, so somebody approached the Chofetz Chaim and asked him that if you live in a place where everybody eats desserts all the time, it's not just standard, part of the course, part of a meal. So they said, Chofetz Chaim lived in Rabin. He mentioned before making Kiddush on wine, Chofetz Chaim for much of his life made Kiddush on bread, challah, because he couldn't afford one. Chofetz Chaim didn't exactly know from riches. So they asked Chofetz Chaim, if you live in a place where they always eat desserts, Chofetz Chaim didn't know what they were talking about. So he explained to him in America, every year they eat desserts, of course, back in the 1890s. So they eat desserts. And rich America, the Bills of Medina, so they eat desserts all the time. So they asked the Chofetz Chaim, what should the din be? Should you consider that to be part of the Suda, since it's such a standard part of the meal? that even though it's boring just looking at the Yama, so it should be covered by the Maitzi. So the way the story goes is that the Chofetz Chaim said, okay, if you live in such a place, so then it's covered by the Maitzi. There would be no bracha on desserts. So the problem with the story is that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. The Mishnah Berurah, he says the opposite. So some claim that Chofetz Chaim backed out later in his life when he was told that this would see us. So when he wrote the Mishnah, he wrote the Mishnah Berurah when he was 19 years old, but the Mishnah Berurah years before. So when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, he wasn't aware of such a concept. And then later years, when they told him, so then he changed his mind and said, okay, it's covered. That's how some defend the story. Another saying was, possibly based on stories. Remember, we read art school, nice little story. You don't pass me shilas based on stories. The Gemara says in the beginning of Chulin that one of the Tanaim saw Rabbi Yehuda Anasi doing something. They saw him eating a certain thing without separating kibbutz and ma'aseh, so they were naked. That particular area where the fruit came from, Meshan, is not really part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that enough of the fact that the person who gave that Edus was such an Adam Gadol, so they wouldn't have trusted the Edus. Not that they think he was lying, that very often people see things and they have no idea what they're seeing, but they interpret things totally wrong. So you have to be very, very careful. The Gemara says when you want to pass the Meshan based on what you're watching, somebody did something, so you have to be a million times careful. Because you have to make sure you're interpreting it properly. You have to know exactly what they're doing, why you think that they're doing. It could be that there's no shaykhus, there's no connection looking at that to what's going on. There's a famous mice with Ramosha with the envelopes. Ramosha was once seen taking some water and wetting the envelope instead of licking it like some people do. So somebody said the Ramosha Mafash, Ramosha Kipaskin, that the glue on the envelope is treif. That's why he was mocked to put water on it rather than looking with his thumb. So he told Ramesha, so Ramesha said, no, the reason why, because last time he did it, he cut his tongue on the envelope, so he stopped doing it that way. So you have to be careful. So when you hear stories, you don't know. So again, there are different issues. Some claim from Chaim never said this, and others are not sure that he actually said this. So that's really a different practice today. Some who still recite brachas on dessert today, and others who don't, in deference to this story. Within those who do recite brachas on desserts, then there's a further question, are there any desserts and exceptions to this rule? So this is a throwback to the possible Bekista thing we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. So Mishnah Berurah himself writes that if you have something that would be really, really possible Bekista, really, truly possible Bekista, so then it's only being eaten as a snack, it's only being eaten as a dessert at the end, for sweetness at the end of the meal. So it's not a mitzvah, it's mezainis, it's not covered by the hamotzi, it wouldn't be covered by the bracha, so you'd have to make a new bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, what if you have something that's a suffix possible? Because I'm not even sure what it's possible because they're all together. So the Mishnah Berurah says, then you're a little bit of a pickle. And he says that he's too nervous, you can't let the person make a bracha on the suffix possible kiss at the end of the meal. Because maybe it's bread. If it's either it's possible kiss or it's not mashiach bread. Remember, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. So if it's really, truly real bread, so then real bread, even if you're eating bread as a snack at the end of the meal, you're eating bread as a dessert. Of course, it's coming by hamotzi. It's hamotzi. So the Chofetz Chaim throws his hands up and says that if you have somebody that's a suffix possible of kisnin at the end of the meal, you can't advocate making a bracha. You can't tell you with a straight face to say mezainis on it, because maybe the real bracha is a mitzvah. The real bracha is a mitzvah, then it's a bracha levatal. So that led to a whole discussion about what would we do bizman hazeh. Let's say we have a lot of things that we're not really sure the possible kisnin. When we spoke about it, but all the pies and the cakes and the cookies, we don't know what they are. So according to many Tumskim, a lot of the our kinds of pastries and stuff is a suffix possible kistens. So if it's suffix possible kistens, suffix pas gumler, so then maybe we shouldn't be reciting brachas on cakes at the end of the meal. So many Tumskim argued with that and said, they remember a few weeks ago we quoted the Maimon Mordechai, the Mishnah Berurah himself quotes a few places. Maimon Mordechai held that anything that's a snack food is by definition possible kistens. That the criteria to define possible kistens has nothing to do with whether it's filled with sweets, filled with fruit, filled with sugar. All those stuff is not really relevant. The only thing that really matters is it snack versus meal. The only reason why the Rishonim rate us with does it have a filling, does it have a sugar, does it have a this, does it have a that, they were just searching for illustrations of this principle. So Rabbi Hanak came with one, the Rakh came with another, the Gaim came with another. Everyone came up with a different description and illustration, what their wife was making for dinner that night, what was considered to be a snacky food. What she was making for a snack food, a midnight snack. But if I know for a fact that this is not really a meal food, this is really a snack food, then of course it's possible to kiss me. So we have a lot of things that we that are for sure possible. Who are you joking? Would anybody in the room here say that church is not possible in Kisna? Would anybody say brownie is not possible in Kisna? When was the last time you sat down and ate lunch and you put a slice of salami on top of a brownie and ate it from sugar? Who eats a brownie as a meal? Sometimes I'm hungry, we eat too many brownies, but nobody considers a brownie to be a meal. A cracker, they're called snack crackers. There's a reason why they're called snack crackers. So they're called milk, they're called snack crackers. So you have a lot of things that are for also vadi possible to kiss them. So the vadi possible to kiss them, if you follow these guidelines, then you should make a bracha on them at the end of the meal. So again, if you believe in the Chavetz Chaim, if you follow the Chavetz Chaim story and you think that you don't make brachas and desserts in America, you don't make brachas and any desserts, but if you're willing not to accept that story and you're thinking you make brachas or bar for eights at the end of meals, then you make bar for eights at the end of meals. We should make burning mezuzahs on the end of meals on things that are badly possible. We kiss them. If you have a brownie, the church will cook this at the end of the meal. With the shalom, of course, you should make a mezuzahs on. Unless you pull out from your hat another story. Unless you argue that we have very, very big acolytes today. We eat significantly more than ever in the history of the world. So for us, everything is balas bia. We're never full. We very rarely bench the rice because we're always still hungry. So when we eat cake at the end of the meal, there's still room. It's not just dessert. Like in the olden days, you have stuff to the gills, but you're just having a little extra. If your wife serves the chicken and the soup and the salad and the kugel and everything, and there's no dessert, so you feel cheated. You feel like I didn't finish the meal. I'm still hungry. And you come back 20 minutes after benching to go find something to snoop in the staff room. And even when she does serve the cake 20 minutes later, you're hungry, you come down. So we're always eating more lasbia. So maybe you can argue that cakes are kinds of foods that are lasbia. Fruity, very, very sweetie kinds of things, like fruit, that kind of stuff. That's not really balas. That doesn't really fill you up anyway. Come on, it was the last time I had a little fruit at the end of the meal. That doesn't really fill you up. But a piece of cake does fill you up. So maybe a piece of cake is like the kubbles of Tysus. So maybe it's still covered by the original bracha tamati. So there are many, many different sheets. The bottom line is there are three different logical possibilities. What should I take beyond desserts? Which one is that? So there are some who make brachas on all desserts today. We make brachas on fruits and make brachas on cakes and cookies and everything because they hold that fruits for sure you have to. And our cakes and cookies are for sure possible because they're not even a Suffolk HaMaitzi, and therefore they're not covered by the HaMaitzi. That's one approach. Then you have others, the other extreme, that say, no, we don't make brachas on any dessert today because the time story is correct. Everybody lives in America and everything is, all desserts are part of the meal. Then you have the middle ground that says, no, we don't really follow the story of the Chaim, but we end up following it like the Zionist kinds of things for a totally different reason because our cakes are all Baal HaSbiya. So yeah, yes, you're different. There are different possibilities out there. The Gemara has, in the end of Ketzim of Orchin, a possibility that sometimes you can have something that's so low bar machmas asuda, so separate and distinct from the rest of the meal. Not only does the original bracha not help, the birch samazah doesn't help either. It's mamash like its own bracket, its own world that has no shaykhs, neither to the beginning of the bracha nor to the end of the bracha, birch samazah. So that's not dessert. The Gemara says if I have a piece of fruit at the end of the meal, although I have to make a bracha mishena, I still don't have to make a bracha achrona on it. But what would constitute something that wouldn't even be covered by bracha achrona, but mitzvah mazon? So Gemara says, akra shulchan. If your mom is clear away the table, the gamrei. And you clear off the table and bring on another table, that's a whole new kosher. So that's a question. As Gemara said, do we have that? Do we have anything called a kiyus hashulchan? As Gemara says, so we have big tables. We don't generally clear tables. We spoke about this once. We talk about this about Lech HaSeder. We talk about this about Akiyus HaShulchan. We didn't come up with that. We came up with Mishnah. We came up with another Mishnah. We go somewhere. The Mishnah, the Sugis, and the end of Pesach. We talk about Akiyus HaShulchan. That you remove the table. The Lech HaSeder, the Shishlotin Akiyus. So we should say that meant in the olden days, they had little tables. They even ate little trays. So that was the Akiyus HaShulchan of days gone by. That's what the Rush writes. And the Gemara says that a husband and wife are not allowed to eat together when the wife is a nida. So the Rambam writes that he's not allowed to eat mamash out of the same plate together. So most of the Rishon disagree with the Rambam and say that if you're eating at the same table, that's also a problem. So the Rosh says, yeah, it's only a problem eating at a tiny table. So the husband and wife are huddled together around this little tray, that's a problem. He had tremendous tables. He was on one end of the table, she's 30 feet away, the other end of the table. So that was, that's not called the Chalima. What's that going to be for him? You can barely see her from one end of the table to the other. That's what the Rush writes. I'm going to give him Achman that also. But again, there are details when we do apply to other people around. She knew, again, we're not learning the Sugis Vachakas right now. So the Rush is addressing the reality that our standards of eating are different than the days of Chazal. Chazal had little tables. That's why it's not Chazal. They would mamash pick up the table in the middle of the Seder and walk it out to the kitchen. So all the kids would say, Daddy, what was going on? He said, what happened to the table? So that would be a Kinesha Shalati Lankis. So we're not going to do that. We're going to go pick up the entire dining room table in the middle of the Seder. We're going to bring six guys in, carry it there, laid in with the gold and silver, all the silverware and a china, everything. The whole thing is going to fall over the floor. It's going to be still Shalati Lankis. The wife's going to kill you. So no one picks up the whole table because God knows that. So what do we do? So the Mishan instituted a minig that we do kids as Eicher. So we pick up the Seder plate. That's the best we can do. So that's what the minig is. The father takes the Seder plate and holds it under the table. He'll do it on his lap a little bit. He puts it on the side. So hopefully someone will ask. I've been doing it for 25 years. No one's ever asked me. Why do they? Because it's something that says in the Haggadah. Do this. I mean, why bother asking? If you do something that doesn't say in the Haggadah, then they'll say, Abba, why are you following what's straight in the Haggadah? So I should try backwards. I should leave the table. I should leave the plate on the table. Then why'd you forget? So that's what the Faisal discussed as Manazed. We have an Akimus HaShulchan that you can really, really call it. Nobody moves up tables with Manazed. So the only thing that we may have that may be a little bit similar to Akimus HaShulchan is a Viennese table. So a Viennese table is not really a Akimus HaShulchan. It's a Akimus HaPeople. It means everyone's sitting around the table. And then all of a sudden they say, guests, come, please come and outside into the hallway and enjoy your Viennese table. So they come, azab, zamishigas, and everything, kiyar hamelach. And everyone's walking around tasting and eating. Remember those days, man? When there used to be weddings. So everyone's walking around tasting and eating all those foods of the Viennese table. So someone would argue, maybe let's go to Kiyos HaShulchan. Maybe not only do you have to make a new bracha and desserts, you have to make a bracha and desserts also. So I think the minhag is not that way. I think we usually assume that even that's not really, really, really the Kiyos HaShulchan of all. It's not exactly the same of the model of mamash, removing the table like Amri and bringing out a whole new table. Here the table, the caterer doesn't put me out the event yet. Unless this is your place, there's another faster starting in 20 minutes that will roll you out when you're in the middle of eating. But otherwise, your table stays, and they tell you to go into the hallway and eat another. Maybe that's not called the Akiyos HaShulchan of all. So I think that most people don't. Those people still have kaychas to eat at the Viennese table. I think they make whatever brachas they would normally make on desserts, whatever the standards are. And then I don't think most people end up making a bracha before they go back to lunch.
Have you ever had a case where, like, you have
your
other meal, and then you clear the maid, and then you bring up?
So they don't clear the table. I mean, that's not called a Kiyos HaShulchan. Kiyos HaShulchan means the Rosh. He used to pick up the tray and move it out. And then he got a new table, so nobody does that. Okay, so hopefully the next week we'll try to touch up a little bit more on some of these odds and ends.